Welcome to The Emergence, a podcast asking the question, what is possible when we are connected and in control? Today's episode is a commentary format where I talk about an idea as a stream of thought as opposed to an essay format that I've done in the past. And it's this concept of a tunable web that I've been thinking about and working on defining over the years that is kind of bubbling up to the front, especially in an essay that I've been working on that is called Breaking the Monopolies Over Our Attention. And as I've been working on this essay for the last month and a half, 2 months, it's really, I've just started to try to define what it is that I've been really talking about. And a couple of words, tunable and web, really came up surfaced. So I thought I would just kind of ramble on here a little bit, talk about ideas about what a tunable web is. This is something I've been working on for a while with when I had the company Quired with my friend and partner, Tim McLean. We would always talk about this when we were building our platform called Quired.com back in 2005, 2006. And we'd always talk about this kind of a visualization of painting a picture of the experiences and being able to be in control to render what is out there on the web that really helps speak to our core interests and situations and the discoverability of what could be out there. And we were thinking about how the web is built right now. I just read the other day is that Google is responsible for 87% of all searches. I'm putting this in my essay. And worldwide. So everything that we search for, whether it's audio, video, images, when we're searching, we're going through Google. That is one company that is controlling and writing that algorithm to serve as discovery for you as an individual. Is that healthy? I mean, I'm not even attacking the fact that they're a $1 trillion company. I'm just saying at the core of it, for everything that we discover, everything that we that we're finding online, which, by the way, is becoming more and more prominent. You think about in the next 5 to 10 years, you think that we're really using the web for the majority of our life now. It's nothing compared to how it's going to be when we start to implement sensor data from our appliances and everything that we're around. And it's creating relevance for us. It's how we're working at, you know, with after COVID now with COVID, people are working remote. They're relying on these tools more and more. I don't think that is going to really be reversed in any way. I think that's going to continue to evolve to where these big companies are going to see that this is a savings for them and people working remotely. And we'll probably start to see a shift in society over the number of years. So we're going to become more dependent on the web for finding things, for learning things. So is the web now, though, the way that it is? Is that something that really speaks to the core of our potential, of our interest, of our situations? Or is it something that is being fed to us by algorithms that are owned by these trillion-dollar corporations? Some people might have thousands of friends on Facebook. Okay, the things that you're seeing, think about that. The things that are you're seeing from posts and comments from friends, these thousands of friends, you're not seeing everything. Of course you're not. So who decides that? Who decides the narrative of what you're going to see as your day unfolds? That's Facebook. That's Facebook's algorithm that is determining that. And that is, you can argue if you want, but pretty much, well, it has to be optimized to protect shareholder value. And that is going to come through advertisements and engagement. Because when they go to the shareholders, they're going to show, hey, these people are really engaging. So what's engagement? How's that measured? It's measured on quantity activity, not necessarily depth of engagement. And I don't know. I don't have access to the algorithm. And behind the scenes, do you think that Facebook is focusing on our depth of engagement? Do you think that Google is focusing our depth of engagement? Do you think Twitter, Instagram, do you think any of these tools are really built around that? So there are a number of technologies that are being built today that are on the horizon that I think speak well to a tunable web, to where, what does that mean, a tunable web? To me, it means that there's information in containers, that somebody has a blog post. There is a podcast. There is a video. There's a movie of a documentary. These are containers. They contain information, experiences that is shared by a creator. A business has a service or a good that they want to sell. That is something from the provider side. You have the consumer side, which is the individual, the people that are looking for things, whether it be information, goods, or services. And then you have the providers of that. So you have information in these containers on the provider side. And then you have people that are interested in finding such items, goods, services, and information. Well, what's happening right now is the Googles, the Amazons, the Apples, the Facebooks, the Twitters, so on. And there's really not that many when you really think about it in the scale of things. But they are determining what that, how you find that, how you discover that. That is what they're doing, is that algorithm controls what you see and how you see it and how you engage with it. A tunable web is reversing that. The tunable web is attaching the capability of you to discover the content within these containers under your own agency. So meaning that under your own control, to be able to find these experiences in these containers that you would be able to control. And I'm not talking about just mapping out what you already know, all right? So you have interest, but maybe you have those interests, but there could be something that you don't know that you're interested in that could actually generate additional interest. So there's a serendipity component to this as well in a tunable web. A tunable web isn't just a fixed state of providing filter tools to where things that you're already interested in, you have more power to find. Because think about yourself, how many things in life that you have discovered that's created an interest in something else that you didn't even really have an interest. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. That's always a good a popular statement. What are those elements that could go into discovery that really speaks to the core of who you are and who you want to be? And how could those tools be given to you to where you paint that picture? That's Tim and I would work on that. Where how with choir, how could you paint these experiences, the discoverability of these experiences, to render your own painting? So what we would talk about is building tools that would be a palette and a paintbrush. And the thing is, and I've had many different discussions with people over the years on this, and they continue to tell me that just sounds too difficult. People aren't going to want to go through that. Well, I do agree with that, but that is the challenge for these new tool sets, is what could be built. And I'm probably not the best one to build them. I've built technology in the past, but the emergence is more about inspiring these ideas for others to really grab onto, and for people far smarter than I or more intelligent or have more capabilities to really grab onto this and think about it. And what could they do? What could be built? And think about this, all right? And this is part, the center point of my argument on breaking monopolies over our attention. You have Google, and they have access to all this information that they put on servers, and then they index, and their own algorithm crawls it. Facebook, same thing. These are our experiences. These are businesses for Amazon that have their services and goods that they provide. This on Facebook are things that I've commented on. These are, or a friend of mine has commented on, that I've posted on, that I've shared my ideas. Where, how did we evolve to where private companies are taking our own private experiences and monetizing it? So in my mind, in the future, a tunable web is to where you have many different algorithms that can search these indexes and these mappings of content of these containers. So again, we have millions and millions of containers of information by people that they write a book, they do a podcast, it's just any amount of things. They have a really cool product that they've built, a really cool service that they can help people with, events, things of that nature. Those are all containers. These are experiences that are locked away in these silos that these companies are controlling. But let's think about For instance, what Tim Berners-Lee is doing with his solid framework. I'm not saying that is the only solution we'll see in the future, but he did build the web and he's on to something very interesting. I've been following their team for 3 years now, and they definitely seem to be on to something. But the core of that is separating user data from people with the applications that will use user data. So this separation of discoverability and distribution to me is incredibly powerful for a tunable web. And so what happens when you have companies that are competing with different algorithms to search for a data set? So you think about the web and all these people and all these blogs and articles from journalists and movies. You think about these containers, and then you think of an ecosystem of people that are able to, they're developers, they're able to build these discovery tools that you can attach to data sets. You could have 100 different discovery tools attached to one data set that's found on the web, as opposed to these companies controlling the distribution and owning discovery over distribution, creating an ecosystem that is separate from distribution. Because do you think that these companies who distribute information such as Google and Facebook and Walmart, that they have a vested interest in you finding the things that speaks the best to you? Or do they have a vested interest in finding information that they can optimize so that they are able to assure profit for what they're distributing? To me, it's a fundamental issue we're facing in the free market, that it is a corrosive element in the free market. So the concept of a tunable web, and my essay coming up on breaking monopolies over our attention, is separate discovery from distribution. Now, of course, I'm talking theoretical because even on the solid framework, I don't know if they're talking to that level. But I do think it's important to think about it. And so somebody's first things they're going to say is, okay, Google's going to allow different algorithms to search their database, and they're going to control the information. So how are they going to be able to optimize their advertising? Well, it's not going to work. They're never going to do that. I just don't see it. Facebook's not going to do it. So what is the solution? To me, it's building around it. It's not building through it. It's about what Solid Framework is building with Tim Berners-Lee. It's with a gentleman I had on on the Emergence before, Mark Nadal with GunDB, building these peer-to-peer technologies. It's about blockchain, and it's about aligning containers of these experiences, goods, services, and information with the interest of the people and not having anything in the middle of that. So what we're seeing right now is we're having enormous amounts of influence that is in the middle of this. So what happens, though, Facebook at one time had just a couple of followers. So the idea is to take these technologies, these core framework technologies such as Solid Framework and GunDB and these blockchain technologies, and start to build solutions such as the Ethereum. When I talk about blockchain, Ethereum, their dApps. Okay, they're the ones that I believe are the closest on the blockchain side of it. And being able to build these alignments between the individual, the person with these experiences on the other side without threat of influence. So a tunable web is you have thousands of different discovery proprietors that are providing discovery tools. The best discovery tools for that individual wins. That's how they make their money, whether it's through highly tunable ads or through payments. If somebody wants a better discovery tool, then they pay for it, or there's better ads. And the better the ads, the better capability of the ads to really meet the need of the individual and their own individual interests and inspires them. Because I always say advertising is only advertising if you're not interested. If you're interested, really, I don't think it is advertising. It's just aligning goods, services, and information. It's what you need anyways. So we need stuff. We need coffee. We need we need things. So it's just how we're controlled in the discovery of it that is the problem. So if we have a tunable web that has tunable advertisements within it, then how is that a bad thing? I think it would be a good thing. And again, people are going to say, well, how are you going to get around that? Because we already have these ad networks that are highly influenced. What incentive do they have? Well, we've got to create that incentive. And that's something that I'm working on. I'd love to bring somebody on to really flesh out these ideas and call me wrong on some things and maybe call me right on some things, or maybe they had know something I don't know about. But it's this idea of a tool set. The competition is in our discovery. The competition should not be in the distribution, because when you have distribution and discovery cohabitating, then you are going to have the profit motive beating out our interest motive, our individual motives, and the people motive. The profit motive beats out the people motive. So we build around it. We harness these tools from Ethereum, from GunDB, from the Solid frameworks. And yes, it's going to be messy. I would imagine the Solid framework is going to launch here and any time now, maybe the next year. I know they're in alpha, I believe, or pre-alpha, but at some point, it is going to get out there. What I encourage is for us to really get out there and start to use these tools and build new tool sets where we can find something on the web that's crawling all these experiences on servers, and be able to have a competition of discovery and people building new discovery tools. Think about this. What I want to discover, how I want to discover, is different from who you are, where you live. Maybe you're going to have different ways of discovery. Maybe you don't want to be so involved in painting the picture. Maybe you want to have something else paint a picture for you, but here's the point. What if you have 100 different companies competing for that, for to paint a better picture for you, and you like the results of what this company is doing for you? The discovery, not the distribution. Movies, think about that. That's something that I've been noticing that is really becoming a problem. I will tell you right now, I love Apple TV. I love the content of what they're doing. It's amazing. There's some shows that I'm watching. It's like, my gosh, there's just the quality is just there. So I do see an increase in quality of content, but I also see this push to put these content into these exclusive silos. Distribution is owning these experiences. And really what it is that, okay, Apple TV, that's Apple TV, that's the distributor. Who's the filmmaker? Who's the person and their team and their key grips? Who are these people that created these beautiful experiences? And why in the future should these be behind these nested silos? Why is that? That is not healthy. And movies are a great way for me to really kind of dig in on this. Think about movies. Movies are a way, whether documentary form or narrative form, for people to be able to be entertained, but also be inspired and be moved. How many movies are out there, whether documentary or narrative, that could really move you? Either move you and entertain you, help you cope with a problem you're having, help you cope with to help a friend out cope with something, to relate to a divorce you're going through, a surgery that a loved one's going through, cancer. How many movies are out there that could truly move you and inspire you? Why is it that these are controlled by distributors? Imagine a future where movies, a filmmaker puts these movies and breaks them up into this index and mapping where there's these keyword sets that are really put out into discoverable patterns that allow the individual to paint that picture, or an algorithm company that wants to help you paint that picture. But again, it's not tied to the distributor. These tools are not HBO Max proprietary tools. These tools are not AT&T, Warner Brothers Media, Netflix, Amazon tools. No. The data set, the distributor owns the ability to offer that and help discover it. That's fine. But imagine a place where a movie or movies were in these containers with this advanced mapping and indexing that was structured and universal. And then imagine these discovery organizations that are competing for your interest. And you find a tool that's able to help you paint a picture of a movie that at that particular time truly moves you, that truly inspires you, that resonantly entertains you. I'm not talking about just deep, but you can be entertained. I mean, we could be deeply entertained. One of my favorite comedies, Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey. One of the dumbest movies on the planet. Me, individually, I absolutely loved it. It was just hilarious for me. Now, other people think it's stupid. That's fine. And I thought it was going to be one of the dumbest movies ever made, but I watched it and I laughed my ass off. So there you go. That's me. That's my individual interest. And so the thing about a tunable web, okay, you have those containers. Those containers that are mapping out the topics and the rich data that's within the movie itself, the actors, the colors, the color palette that's used in the movie, the action, you know, lay out that in more structured data to where on our side, on the people side, then we have these tools to really have our interests that are contained in our secure user profiles, kind of our interest cards. Something that Solid Framework is really working on is where we're not logging into everybody else. Everybody else is logging into us. We have one secure login. That's our personal secure profile. And that's where our data resides. And so if we do that, then why can't we keep a log of our ongoing interests and situations? Now, this only is going to work if these are 100% secure, encrypted, to where you're not going to have a company come in there and use it. So when a company comes in and says, Mother, may I, can I use your interest profile? They are only able to use that for that specific situation. As completely opposite of right now is when we log into Facebook and Google, we give them our experiences. Okay, go ahead and do whatever you want with it. Resell it, manipulate us, do whatever you want. No, in the future, one login, that's our secure profile. If we get to that place where legislation, if somebody violates it, they pay the piper and they pay the price. But in the future, imagine a place where we do have a secure profile that's split out, encrypted over the blockchain, over peer-to-peer, whatever, over the domain, Solid Framework. There are ways to at least give us a fighting chance of protecting our interests. So let's just assume that it's going to be much more protected than it is now. I don't think that's a hard one to think about. So these interests that we collect on things that we've discovered, those are contained within this profile, our personal profile, and it's ours. We feel confident that we are able to then tune that. The things that we're interested in today are going to be different tomorrow, but that it keeps that providence of it. It keeps that history of what we've learned. And then it takes that algorithm, and this is the powerful part of it. There's a company that is a discovery company, comes in and it takes our private information. We say, you can have access. You say, Mother, my eye. You come in, we'll pay you, we'll watch your ads, the tunable ads, whatever. And then you mash up our interests and then see what you got. You compete. And then all of a sudden, I see a movie that I never thought of in my life that I would like. That is the power. That is the serendipity of something that you didn't know that you would like that moves you. That is the power of the human condition. Because if we have more of that, then we're going to start empowering ourselves. We're going to start to be more involved and more excited. And then the thing is, the powerful part of that, I was debating with my son this morning about that, is that it's we empower ourselves through these tool sets that are giving us control of our own, and then you tie that into the collective, you tie that into the society, to where we help, we find somebody that on the network that this movie moved me because of this, and then you find somebody else that has a similar palette. And then now you make a new friend around not necessarily defined interest, but serendipity. And then and think about the things that could be used in this type of a tunable web for helping people through homelessness, so helping people through drug addiction, helping people, CEOs work more effectively with their managers and treating their employees as true partners and trying to create better services and better goods for the people. This idea of a tunable web is about empowering the individual with information that they have control over that would help them not only help themselves, empower themselves, but help others. And that is the thought of a tunable web. Of we paint our Mona Lisa, and again, not everybody's going to be Da Vinci, right? And there is no reason for that. Da Vinci had possibly a certain DNA trait and a desire to work his ass off to be Da Vinci and one of a kind, one of a lifetime. We don't need to all be Da Vincis, but can we all paint a better picture for ourselves? If we're utilizing and harnessing these tools to compete for us to be able to reach deeper into our capabilities, reach deeper into our potential to express that amongst each other, how is that bad? I believe that over time that could reduce social costs, which is an important part, is the health of society and the health of the individual. Now, my argument is not to sacrifice self for the collective. My argument is to empower self, to empower the collective, the society. So there's obviously different thoughts on that, and people may argue with me. My son certainly did, and that's fine. I love that. I want to have people come on and question me on everything I say. I'll learn something. Maybe they'll learn something, and we'll meet in the middle. Maybe, maybe not. But that is the idea. That is the essence of a tunable web, is not just to help us find things, but to help us discover things. And really, is it the best for the distributor, for the Google, to own 87% of discovery of what comes through them? Let's build around them. Let's build around them. You're not going to take them down. And I'm saying don't. That's fine. Make them irrelevant. Make that idea of discovery, of distribution owning discovery, irrelevant through building better tools. That would make I think that would make a lot of people happy, to be honest with you. And probably, I don't think that some people are that tuned in with this, where they think about this, but it is a significant part. You think about what we are discovering and what we're fed through news, what we're fed through Facebook, what we're fed through Google. There may be 25 million paid results on the keyword search George Washington. But yeah, I know who George Washington is, but think about that. There's a lot of nuances. So that first page of what we are 99% of the time going to look at, are those results of George Washington or Franco or any kind of historical figure or any information? Is that going to be the thing that really resonates us with the most, the top page of 25 million, and you have a company that's deciding that and defining that for you? No, and that is at the core of the emergence of being able to build these tools. And I don't even really anymore like to call it technology. It's tools. It's a wheel. It's a lever. All right. Who do you want to have hands on the lever to move a boulder that's in your way? Do you want to have $1 trillion companies, or would you rather have your hands in the hands of the community members that you trust? That's what it boils down to. These are tools. These are tools, and let's build these tools to help build a more resonant future and the information layer that we're have. And then the thing I want to end with is, we're incredibly powerful to me, obviously, is, and my argument here is, it's not to live in the technology. Let's use the technology to make us better at understanding the real world. So let's put down our phones and let's go have a real conversation. I'm not saying live in this dystopian technology. I'm talking about, let's build better technology to inform us more completely, so when we do meet people, we have fuller experiences. When we do see things around us in the desert, when we're hiking, and we have a different appreciation for a sagebrush because we've learned about it through this decentralized emergent connection. And that's the essence of it. So I'm kind of rambling on a little bit here, but I think you get it, or not, which is great. Get it or not. I mean, my responsibility is to say it. Your responsibility is to interpret it. So I have an essay that I'll be releasing here in a couple of weeks on breaking monopolies over our attention that will really break these down a little bit more in more of an essay format. So, and I have a couple of guests coming on here. I know I've taken a little bit of a break, but I'm back on it. I've been spending too much time on my essay, and I need to get out there and just continue to talk about these ideas and fight for these ideas. So thank you so much for staying tuned, and we'll talk to you soon.